Is there something in your life that you consider to be impossible? Are you struggling with something that you find impossible to overcome? Perhaps it's your career, your job, or perhaps it's your relationship that is going nowhere, and you feel that no matter how hard you try, you are not getting through. Perhaps you feel stuck and defeated and you are exhausted. Perhaps you are tired of trying something and now you feel like you are rowing against stormy waves that will ultimately engulf you. Perhaps you are thinking that it's never going to happen or it's never going to work, whatever that is. Perhaps you are thinking, what's the point? Because you know that you have done everything in your power. I want you to know that you are not defeated, and definitely you are not alone, because with God, all things are possible. It doesn't matter what you're dealing with. Amen. The title of this message is Kingdom Focus. This is the fourth message in my series, Kingdom of God. The previous three messages are available through our website should you choose to follow. In this message, my prayer and hope is that the Lord may cause you and I to repent and refocus our attention to our Lord and Savior, the author of our salvation, for our personal life as well as our church life as we go through this transitional period. For our confidence is not in any man but God alone. About 2 weeks ago, while I was studying the book of Matthew, my older son, Arius, who is only 3 years old, sat down next to me and began to pretend read the Bible. If you have children, you understand what is that. He moved his little cute little finger, index finger, across the Bible pages and said, "Everything is possible with God, Matthew 19, verse 26. I was amazed that not only he quote the verse, but also gave me the scripture reference. Like a good father, I went to the reference to just make sure that's the right reference, and it was right. I came to know that the wonderful nursery staff at Calvary here spent the previous Sunday teaching my children this verse. This single verse has brought calmness in the midst of many uncertainties in my personal and professional life. It helped me to refocus my priorities. And I hope and pray that this message, this verse, speaks to you too, and it somehow it helps you too. The verse, again, comes from Matthew chapter 19, verse 29. One verse. It says, "But Jesus looked at them and said, 'With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.'" Say with me, "With God all things are possible." Amen? Amen. I guess sometimes children's perspective on life and things around them is all that we, the grown-up, The grown-ups need to remind ourselves of how God intends for us to live our lives. You will not see children worrying about food or rent or job or clothing. Indeed, God's desire for you and me is to live our lives free of worries, yet being the grown-ups, we find it quite impossible not to worry when change and uncertainties surround us. As a church, we are entering into a major, major time of transition. We will be out of this building for a few years. And we will be worshiping, as I said, in the morning, we'll be worshiping at Hunter College, and in the evening, we'll be worshiping at Trinity Baptist College starting March 1st. One more Sunday. Our mission will not change, but our routine and programming will. And change, as you and I know, can be tough. We are already hearing, how am I going to get there? Do you have parking? In the midst of this change and uncertainties, the enemy will attack the flock, this congregation, and the leadership, but we must take courage, for the one who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world. And that's true for your personal life too. Our text, this one verse, teaches what is impossible with men is possible with God, because all things are possible with Him. All things are possible with Him. Impossibility implies that things have gone beyond the realm of difficulty and probably cannot be accomplished by one's own personal effort or ability. I do not know what that one thing or multiple things are in your life that you do not have control over. You absolutely feel helpless and utterly, utterly hopeless at certain times. But know that nothing is impossible for your God. Therefore, I have complete confidence in the Lord that whatever you or I are going through right now, He will get us through. He will give us the victory He has promised, and even if He chooses to not change our circumstances, He will grant us the strength and wisdom to face the circumstances. As for this church building, one day, I truly believe, one day He will bring us back on this site to worship here, worship Him in a new and better facility. Meanwhile, we will continue to trust Him. We'll continue to live our lives for His kingdom and engaging New York City and impacting the world with the message of Jesus Christ. The key in the midst of change and uncertainties and impossibilities is to have a kingdom focus. Have a kingdom focus. When we focus too much on our struggles, doesn't matter how small, teeny tiny they are, or how grand they are, it doesn't matter. When we focus too much on our struggles and inability to accomplish or excel in something, then the giants of impossibilities become the focus of our attention and lives. When the kingdom vision perishes in individuals and in churches, then God's kingdom becomes secondary. And when that happens, we are truly lost. We are truly defeated. Have you ever thought when you call Lord Jesus, what do you really say? You call him your master, you call him your Lord, but yet when you put your attention, you put your focus on some problem, doesn't matter what problem you're talking about, you make that problem, that issue, your Lord. You replace the Lordship of Jesus Christ with whatever you consider impossible. So how do you develop a kingdom focus? I want to give you three things to work with from this text. And I pray this help as it's helping me. Number one, by loving God more than the idea of God. There's a difference. Loving God more than the idea or notion of God. Matthew 19:26, in its context, is a response to a query by a rich man, followed by an inquiry by Apostle Paul in verse 27. For both, the response is the same. Jesus tells both of those guys, you will inherit eternal life when you forsake everything and follow me. In Matthew 19, verses 16 through 22, this rich man comes to Jesus seeking the kingdom of heaven. More precisely, how to enter into the kingdom of heaven and have eternal life. The man had all the riches of the world, and he followed all the commandments written in the Jewish law. Yet, he fell short. He knew it. Otherwise, why would he go to this new emerging rabbi, Jesus? I do not know if he really understood love of God. Did this rich man love God? I'm not sure if he knew what loving God means. And I think sometimes we do not even know what that really means. Most certainly, he loved the idea of God, the notion of God, all the rituals and traditions and laws about that God, and kept himself bound to everything that the law commanded him. But did he truly love God? How earnest this rich man was in his search for the kingdom of God. Look at verse 20 through 22. If you're following with me, Matthew 19, verses 20 through 22. It says, the young man, the rich man, said to him, Jesus, all these I have kept, what do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Notice verse 22. When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. His sorrowfulness in verse 22 means hardly anything if he was willing to gain everything but lose his life, eternal life. Matthew chapter 16, verse 26 tells us, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeit his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? And this guy, who is slave to the law, willing to do whatever it takes, as long is able to hold on to his possessions. What are your possessions? What are your possessions? You may not be as rich as this guy is, but you are, on average, When you look at over 7 billion people in this world, you are the richest people alive. That's insane as compared to marginalized communities all around the world who do not even have enough to eat or have shelter to live in. I suppose this young man felt emptiness within himself, irrespective of his good works and following the law wholeheartedly from his youth. He was empty. Do you feel that emptiness? Maybe not all the time, perhaps sometimes. The text does not say whether he was a true believer or a seeker of Jesus Christ, but it suddenly exposes his insecurity, this rich man's insecurity in his perceived notion of salvation. Consequently, he was willing to do more in addition to what he had already been doing. Jesus basically told him that the only thing he lacks is complete devotion and unconditional surrender. This he could only accomplish by leaving everything, including his perceived idea of God's kingdom, and follow him, which of course he simply couldn't. He held strongly to his conviction of law, what law was teaching him, and also his possessions. Perhaps you're really good at everything, but your own idea of God is getting in the way of knowing God. Many who believe in God and consider themselves Christian often confuse loving God with the notion or idea of loving God or obeying God with working to gain his mercy and love. Love. If I ask you, do you love God? I am sure you will say, of course. Of course I love God. Otherwise, why would I will come and sit here? If I ask the same question, if I ask the rich man the same question, probably he would say the same. Of course I love God. Otherwise, why would I come all the way to this new preacher, Jesus Christ? Work. You see that? The focus is work. I have come all the way here. I am sitting here. Am I not here? I'm putting my work to prove my love for him. We do not have to be focused on something ugly, awful, or utterly sinful to lose kingdom focus. If we are not kingdom focused, we are prone to fall prey to righteous deeds that do not equate to what makes us worthy of God's kingdom. For some, that might be pride in knowing the word and accumulating the theological knowledge. For others, that might be denominational pride or church traditions. This is not much different from Pharisees and Sadducees who were zealous for their traditions. And even when the living God, when the incarnated God himself, Jesus Christ, stood before them, taught them, told them, they could not believe him. Only thing they could do was to call him blasphemer and hang him up on the cross. You see what happens when you do not have kingdom focus? Even when God himself appears, you do not follow him because you are God to yourself. The problem is when we are not kingdom focused, we are destined to focus on something else. And that else can be something good and nice, righteous, but not what God wants. Two, by committing to a process of transformation, how you can build this kingdom focus? By committing to a process of transformation. Christian faith or accepting Jesus Christ doesn't change you overnight. Well, it does change some aspects of your life. It should. The Holy Spirit should change your heart and mind, but your life transformation is a life process. What I knew about the Lord Jesus 30 years ago has refined, has matured over the period of time. I know more about Him, and I desire to know more. It's a process. Building a kingdom focus is a lifetime commitment to growth and transformation. This is true for any skill, any relationship, anything you do. You have to put time into that relationship. There is no quick fix to address a lack of spiritual growth in us. From the disciples' point of view, right here in this text, in verse 26, from the disciples' viewpoint, as in many places, even today, health and wealth were a sign of God's abundance in a person's life. The rich man was the personification of what a blessed man was supposed to look like. He was believed to be the righteous and upright man before God and men. Eastern culture. Many of you know I come from Pakistan. I live there, and still most of my ministry is among Muslims. And that Eastern culture is a culture of curses and blessings. Curses and blessings. This means if you are poor, ill, or have a physical deformity, you must be cursed by God. In the book of Job, we see this perspective by Job's friends and relatives. However, if you are doing well financially, you have been blessed. If you have many possessions and many sons especially, you are considered a blessed man. Again, we see this also in the book of Job. So the disciples were astonished because they simply could not believe that even a man like the rich man, who is evidently blessed by God, could not enter in the kingdom of God. So poor Peter, quick to ask these type of questions, right? He raises the obvious question, Lord, if not him, then who else? Peter's focus was on the visible right now, right here. He was in the process of being transformed. He has not experienced complete transformation yet. He has not received the Holy Spirit yet. He is looking at what his Jewish culture and traditions tell him. He was following the average line of thought in which if a man cannot inherit the kingdom, if a blessed man, a rich man, cannot inherit the kingdom, then what hope do the disciples, fishermen, the low class citizens in their culture and cultural context have? That was his issue. Notice verse 23 and 24. Jesus said to his disciples, truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. I believe the point Jesus is making here is not that the rich folks cannot enter into the kingdom of God, but rather no one can enter into the kingdom of God by their own merit. There is no work that can guarantee eternal life in heaven. At the end of the day, we all fall short of the glory of God and have no hope. Therefore, what is impossible with men, with us, is possible with God. You see? That's what Jesus is teaching them. Only the kingdom focus can bring a complete transformation where one's good work are nothing but dirty rags before the grace of God, who is holy and is able to save you and I. Third and last point, how we can build this kingdom focus by removing all distractions. So when I say all distraction, I'm not expecting you to remove all these distractions overnight. Again, it's a process, you see, over a period of time. Deal with one distraction at a time. Don't try to deal with everything at the same time, because that's not going to work. You're going to exhaust yourself. I believe the true enemy of focus is distraction. Regarding the focus, I would say this. It is pretty tricky thing. My children, you got to meet my children, by the way. My children are very little, 3 years old, and the other one is one and close to one and a half. And when they take a photo, they take an iPad or phone, they will take a photo. Usually, you can't tell what it is. Imagine a photo of you where you cannot even tell that it's you. I guess for a photographer and videographer, the idea of focus, focus is the essence of their work. Focus is considered by some to be the gateway to all thinking, perception, memory, learning, reasoning, problem solving, decision making. And a lack of focus can cause ineffectiveness, dissatisfaction, anxiety, worry, because you know that it is affecting your work and your personal life. When you lose focus, regarding distraction, I would say this: distraction kill your productivity, rob you of your relationship, stop your progress, and delay or end your spiritual growth, especially in a fast-paced, technological-driven workplace where everybody is competing against each other. You could very well damage your career. At home or work, or church, focus means removing any and all unnecessary distractions. Some of the ideas that I have, or some of the things that I've heard from men over the period of time that distract them are excessive use of social media or access to internet. There is addiction to pornography, addiction to food, an unhealthy approach to exercise to lose weight, or substance abuse, or something else. There's always something that constantly, when in the pastoral ministry, when you're dealing with people, you hear these things. And the question is, how do I deal with this? How do I deal with that? The best way to remove any distraction or remove a bad habit is to replace it by focusing on something positive. That's the same advice I give to almost everybody. Replace your bad habit with better, or good habit, which basically focusing on something else, which is better. Same goes for time management. If you don't have time for your family and you are destroying your family structure or family life, you have to focus again. Replace that with something better. Make time. Kingdom focus demand removing worldly and fleshly distractions so that you can focus on His kingdom. It does not mean that you remove yourself from your social obligations, because I do get to meet, especially men, when they are convicted, emotionally they feel different. They just want to go somewhere and devote their life and live like a monk. A retreat for a couple days is a healthy idea. It's good. You should. But retreat for life, leaving your family and obligation behind, perhaps not a good idea. Perhaps you need to find a mentor. And if you don't have a mentor, let's start from there. If you can't find one, talk to me. I will point you to some really godly, mature men and women who can mentor you. So, kingdom focus is not an emotional response to the gospel. Kingdom focus is a lifestyle where you live among your peers, where you live among this world, the people around you, at work, at school. If you believe God is calling you to do something drastic to change your life, my advice is, let's talk. If you're hearing from God, then somebody else in this room is hearing from God too, to confirm what God is calling you to do. Don't make bilateral decisions. That's a good approach. God's purpose for us is to live among others, but live with the kingdom focus so that by examining our lives, the world may gravitate to King Jesus. Though Peter confesses that they have left everything to follow Jesus, verses 27 onward, he is focusing on the wrong thing, the reward. He wants to know what we are going to get out of this. And Jesus tells him, you work on focusing on me, and I will make sure you sit on a throne next to me and judge others. So what is the application? Here's the application. Number one, unless we have a kingdom focus, we will not believe that everything is possible with God. Subsequently, either we will try to take the lead to make something happen for us in our own power, or we will go to the other way and fall into believing that some things are simply impossible, hence asking God is maybe irrelevant. Two, unless we have a kingdom focus, you will give up. You may have something right now in your life that you are giving up because you find it to be impossible. Perhaps you are trying too hard to make it happen. The issue might be as simple as being able to submit to His will, plan, and purpose, and continue to wait patiently for His time. Now, remember, waiting is not idleness. Waiting is not idleness. Rather, waiting patiently is active faith. I heard someone saying, while you wait for God to open a door, you had better make sure you are standing in the hallway. Active faith, active waiting. Third and last application is this. Unless we have a kingdom focus, we will not take time to teach and train the other believers to build such a focus. A kingdom focus is something that spreads faster than you can even imagine. My son Arias is able to speak into my life because he has been learning and memorizing scriptures in Sunday school. I believe it's because Pastor Loki, our pastor of children and youth ministry, our family ministry, he has a kingdom focus. His staff, all the nursery staff, that ministry staff, they have a kingdom focus. This church has a kingdom focus. Because we want our children, our youth, our young adult, our seniors, we want all of us to have the kingdom focus. So we are not living for ourselves. Rather, we are living for Him, the one who died for you and I. I would say this, if you do not know the Lord, if you have not accepted Him, ask Him to come to your life and give you this kingdom focus so you can be assured that there's nothing impossible for Him. But if you know Him, then repent and ask Him to give you clarity and help you to remove those distractions from your life so that you can focus on Him.